You know, I love this time of year. I love collecting Christmas stories. In fact, one of the recent ones I ran across was this little boy. This little boy got a Christmas gift from his uncle. It was a harmonica. And 3 weeks later, they ran into each other, and the boy looks at his uncle, and he just says, "Man, I just want to thank you so much for that gift. That's the best Christmas gift I've ever received." And the uncle's kind of beamed with pride. He's like, "Wow, that is so great to hear. I mean, so are you playing the harmonica?" And the little boy says, "No, I never play the harmonica. My mom gives me $1 every morning not to play it in that day, and my dad gives me $5 a week to not play it at night." And something is wrong with that story, because Christmas and music are supposed to go together. Think about it. There's no other time of year that has a music of its own like Christmas. I mean, even our favorite holidays, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Thanksgiving, Pancake Eating Day, whatever your favorite holiday is, does not have the music like Christmas does. In fact, I was raised in a Christian home back in the 80s, which meant I got tons of Christmas music pouring through my DNA as a child. I think about, what other time of year can total, complete strangers show up on your porch and start singing songs and it's okay, you don't call the cops? Only Christmas, right? And I think it's fitting because music was a big part of the first Christmas. I mean, Mary is singing and the angels are singing, the shepherds are singing, even Zechariah is singing at the birth of his son, John the Baptist, who will proclaim the Christ child later on as the Lamb of God. Everyone is singing that first Christmas. And I think it's noteworthy that Jesus was born in the town called Bethlehem, the city of David. David was the most prolific songwriter of all time. You see, Bethlehem was like Music City in Jesus' day. It was, and everybody needs to hear the tune. And so we have our Music City here in our country. It's called Nashville. I went to school in Nashville there, and we used to, just kind of make a few bucks. There'd be people like Lenny Kravitz be pouring down the street, and so everybody's pouring out of there. Me and my friend go grab our guitars, and we'd play. It didn't sound good at all, but people felt bad for us, so they got, we'd make 40 bucks. Just people just love music in Nashville, right? I was waiting tables in the first year there. It was a place where you had cornbread and catfish place, and you would not just hand the cornbread to people. You would flip it in the air, catch it underneath your legs, do all kinds of tricks. And just kind of show off. That's what you do in Nashville. You try to put an extra flair to it. And then people would ask me, "Are you here to make it big in country music?" In the first year, I said no. The second year, I just gave into it. I said, yes, I want to be the next Travis Tritt, Garth Brooks, And then the tip went up a little bit more. That was good, all right? So, you see, we're always asking ourselves these questions on this Christmas road trip we're on. And today is the third stop, and the third stop is Bethlehem. And Bethlehem asks you a question, and here it is. Will you sing a new song? Will you sing a new song? Because music has a power no one should ever underestimate. Think about it. You go to a sporting event. Many of you are Jag fans. You go to a Jags game, and they begin the national anthem, right? Which almost seems has nothing to do with the game, but it's still really important to us. Why do we stand as we sing that song? Why do we expect people to show reverence when we sing that song? Because that song expresses loyalty and expresses our story and our allegiance and our unity as a country. It matters. You see, music does more than just entertain. Music engages, music encourages, music awakens. And you see, music invites us to imagine a better world where you and I can actually do something about it to make it happen. That's why when you study histories of revolutions, every great revolution that stood up against injustice and oppression was driven by music. They sang outside the Bastille, and the Bolsheviks sang in St. Petersburg, in Manila. They sang to overthrow Marcos. And many of us have seen the images of civil rights heroes marching through the streets of Montgomery, where I was born, walking hand in hand, singing, "We shall overcome." Every revolution that has stood up against injustice has had a song to sing. And I think that's why it's so important. It's so interesting when you talk about music. In the book called Exiles, a guy named Michael Frost says in Africa, certain music was banned, Because the government said it threatens to create an atmosphere in the populace that would be dangerous. Do you know what songs were banned? Christmas carols. Christmas carols. And I'm not talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, okay? Have you ever listened to the lyrics of our Christmas carols? I mean, they are some of the most radical, revolutionary music ever written. Think about it. Here's a song. Here's a lyric. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Question. How politically correct is that? To say to all peoples of all religions and all worldviews, there's only one king on the earth. His name is Jesus. You should bow down and you should recognize him. That's a radical song. There's a church in Mississippi, and they were having this, you know, annual children's Christmas pageant. And one of the members had a little boy named Billy. And Billy, she thought, would make a great Joseph. And so he tried out. He didn't get the Joseph part. He got the shepherd part. But she's like, he's going to be the best-looking shepherd in all of them. And so she dressed him up, and he got him the long hair and got him the beard. And everything went great, and everyone was thrilled with the pageant. But the children's director said, hey, we're starting a wardrobe closet. Would you like to donate your costumes so that we can reuse them for next year? Well, this mom that bought the costume thought that'd be a great idea. She went to Billy and she proposed it to Billy. And Billy says, okay, I'm fine with that as long as I can give up everything except the beard. I get to keep the beard. And the mom was like, why do you want to keep your beard? And he said, Mama, I never learned the words to the songs. But when you have a beard, you can move your mouth and nobody knows. And she started thinking, she says, I wonder if I'm just going through the motions of Christmas. Like, she started thinking, I don't think I've learned the songs. I don't think I'm paying attention to the songs. Bethlehem is asking us to sing a new song, and so maybe we better start paying attention to the lyrics. Because here's the thing, you sing the songs all the time, but my question is, do you ever stop and just ponder about the words that are heading and coming out of your mouth? Do you ever just focus on the lyrics? Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, it says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, all of a sudden, a great company, the heavenly host, appeared with the angel praising God and saying, say it with me, church, on the count of three. One, two, three. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go to Bethlehem and hear the song. And if you go to Bethlehem and hear the song, you're going to pick up on several things. Number one is this, and that is, no one but God could write this song. No one but God could write this song. The angels were right to sing glory to God because only heaven could imagine a song this big. See, it was a God, it was our God, who prompted a Caesar over 1,000 miles away to call a census to just come at the right town and get that news to a little podunk town called Nazareth, and a little couple was there, and then they had to make a trip all the way down to Bethlehem, even though she is 9 months pregnant. Let me tell you something, guys. No 9-month pregnant woman wants a 90-mile donkey ride for a Christmas present. Amen, ladies? But God wrote this song. It was God who predicted hundreds of years earlier through the prophets that it would be in the city of David that a virgin would give birth. Only God could write this song. And most of all, it was only a divine mind that could have conceived of the coming of a perfect God-man to redeem the world that was so filled and still is with sin. Only man should pay it, but only a perfect man could pay it, but no person existed to pay it. Only God could conceive of a God-man to redeem the world. And only God could love big enough to let such a man be conceived. Only God could write this song. Only God could birth a salvation this large. Have you ever considered how radical the words are that we actually sing? We sing Christmas lyrics that in some countries would get you arrested. Like veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hell incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. There's no other faith. There's no other philosophy on earth that has lyrics like that. Only God could write this song. And I think that's why everyone needs to hear the lyrics. I know today it's politically correct to say, I'm okay, and you're okay, and you live out your harmony, and I live out my harmony. I'll find my way, and you find your way, because every way is right, and every path leads to God. I just want you to know that that ideology will never harmonize with the tune of Christmas. It never will. If I'm okay, and you're okay, my question is this, then why in the world was Jesus even born? Christmas says you don't need a cheerleader, you need a savior. You need a savior because you have a debt that you can never pay on your own. You see, it illustrates the truth that we have a need, and our need is forgiveness, and we don't have the ability on our own to pay it off. But the chorus announces good news for all people. The Savior has been born. You see, we know that Mary sang, and we know the angels sang. But did you know that Jesus sang that very first Christmas? The Hebrew writer in chapter 10 says this, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, and what follows is Jesus quoting the lyrics of a song from Psalms. It's Psalms number 40, a song that David wrote, the shepherd from Bethlehem. And just before he's born, here's what he's saying. Jesus saying, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. And I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. Say it with me, church. I have come to do your will, my God. That's what Jesus is saying. And then later, the writer comments on that song and says in verse 10, and by that will, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The Bible says Jesus came to experience your hell so that you could enter into his heaven. You talk about radical lyrics, listen to this. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. I realize that some people are offended by those words. But what's more tragic is that some people have never heard those words. That's why we're so passionate about reaching out to people right here in Clay County, Northeast Florida, but also in places like Egypt. There are so many people who have never heard Bethlehem's song. Because you see, anyone, doesn't matter who they are, can join in the chorus. The amazing thing about Bethlehem's song is that it transcends culture, it transcends gender, it transcends race and nationality. And so when you read Gospels like Matthew and Luke and the accounts of the birth of Jesus, one of the common themes is this, that everybody is invited to the birthday party of God's Son. Everybody is. In that day, most Jews started their morning with this prayer. Here's how the prayer went. I thank thee, O Lord, King of the universe, that I was not born a Gentile, which is most of us. I was not born a slave, and I was not born a woman. But the Christmas story involves all those types of people, right? I mean, you think about it. In that story, he starts off with two women. If you don't have Mary, you don't have Elizabeth, you don't have this story. In that day, if you weren't rich, you were written off, it says, by God's favor. But the story starts with a poverty-stricken little couple in a podunk town called Nazareth. In that day, if you were, immoral from your past, there's no way you could have access to God. But Matthew says, Let's just remind you of Jesus' heritage and his family tree. One of his great grandmas dressed up like a prostitute. Her name was Tamar. Another grandma of his was a prostitute. Her name was Rahab. And then you have Bathsheba, the adulteress. And that day, if you were a shepherd, you were never included. You were despised because you live with animals, you worked with animals, you smell like an animal. God sent them an angelgram so they could show up to the party. And that day, if you are a pagan astrologer, the Jewish law says that you were to be stoned to death. But God sent these pagan astrologers a star to get them to show up to the party. You see what Christmas is saying? It's saying, I don't care what your sex is. I don't care what your economics are. I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your past is. You are all invited to come and meet Jesus. Christmas sings of what everybody needs. Anybody can get. One of the best known verses of all is John 3:16, the Bible. But I want to show you my favorite word from most people's favorite verse. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that, say it with me, church, here's the word. So I'll say it together. 1, 2, 3, that what? Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. You know who whoever is? It's you. It's me. It's us. We are all citizens of Whoville, okay? We've all been invited. No matter who you are, what you've done, what happened to you, you are invited. John Stroman wrote a book called God Downward Mobility. He tells a story of a man who sometimes he would go visit a nursing home. And frankly, this guy was always grumpy. And his grumpiness and his gruffness was basically a cover for his loneliness. He had no family. He only had a few friends. And he said he went to go see him on Christmas. And when he walked into the room, he noticed that his entire countenance of this man was different. He was cheerful. He was pleasant. And John said, I noticed he had Christmas cards taped on his wall. Someone had brought him a beautiful poinsettia to put in his room. And he said the night before, carolers from a local church had come by and sung to him. And then this man, who's so gruff, said to John, he said, at Christmas time, I am somebody. At Christmas time, I am somebody. From the song Holy Night, here's what it says. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared. And then, look at this. And the soul felt its worth. The soul felt its worth. The Christmas song says to you that you matter to God. The Christmas song says to you that you are valuable to God. And that he's not going to give up on anybody. He's not going to give up on anybody. In fact, he's building a chorus right now in heaven, and it's made up of every tribe, every nation, from every tongue, and we as one will sing the song forever and ever. I read an article about a man who visited a horrific death camp in Eastern Europe, and if you go there, there's these photos that depict the horror of thousands and thousands of Jews who are being escorted right into a gas chamber. And what will catch your eye, he says, is you'll see a young mom, and she's fully aware where she's going. But right in front of her is her little girl who has no idea. And so in her last act of love, a love that what only a mom can give, she takes her hands and she puts it over the eyes of her little girl. And so at least in her last moments, she won't be spent knowing the horror ahead. And he's sitting there looking at this photo, and he said, you stand there and you look at this picture. And he said, just one thought kept coming into my mind. He said, God, don't let this be all there is. God, don't let this be all that there is. See, most music is just noise. Most music is pointless. Because if death and evil win, then all music is just a temporary distraction to numb our pain. It's just something to distract our minds from the tyrannies that dominate and make life pointless. But Bethlehem's song says that music The music of God will keep playing because life will keep going forever and ever and ever. Christmas says the gulf between mortality and immortality can be bridged. This life is not all there is. Our anthem declares a new kingdom has been inaugurated, and one day it will be consummated. And it brings me comfort. It brings me so much comfort when I hear our song to realize that all the things that make life so miserable right now are short-lived. They're short-lived. The evil and the oppression and the injustice and the racism and the divorce and the death will have their day, but a day is coming. A day is coming when they will be conquered and the kingdom of Jesus Christ will triumph. You want to hear some radical lyrics? Listen to this. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and his glory forevermore proclaim. And we will. We will. And we will sing the song forever because the music of Bethlehem, listen, it never ends. It never ends. And so I would suggest that we start singing the song right now. Because listen, it really does matter what kind of music you listen to. Now, I know I sound like an old man when I said that, all right? But that's the truth. It really does matter the song and the music you listen to. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't think that way. I had my cassette tapes. I never forget one time I took them on a church bus and then my student pastor's wife confiscated them because they were inappropriate songs. I'm like, why are you such a hag? Like, why are you taking away my good music? Because I'm like, it's not that big of a deal, right? But here's the thing. One of the greatest pieces of nonsense ever sowed by the devil was that you can listen to any kind of music you want and there's no impact. That's a lie. It really does matter what kind of music you listen to. That's why God writes songs. That's why the devil writes songs. Because music speaks to the world as you see it and as you want it to be. And so my application question to you this Christmas is this. This Christmas, will you listen to alternative music? Will you listen to different music? Like when people are cruel, will you turn the other cheek? And when people curse, will you bless? And when they cuss, will you pray? Because you're listening to a different song. And when marriage gets hard, and newsflash, every marriage gets hard. You don't quit, you don't run because you're listening to a different song. And when the job says, hey, put me before your family. And when the world says, how much money do you have because your net worth equals your self-worth? You say no. Life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. I am more than my job because I'm listening to different lyrics. And when sin entices and says, come and play only for a short time so we can have a good time, you walk away because you go, that's not my song. That's not your song. And when death comes, and death will come, you will not grieve like people who have no hope because you know your song. You know your song. Christmas says there's alternative music. We march to a different beat because we follow a different king and we hear his music everywhere. There's a movie that came out many years ago called The Bridge Over the River Kwai, and it was rated one of the top 100 best movies in the last century. It was inspired by a book by a man named Ernest Gordon. And Ernest was one of the British prisoners detained in North Burma during World War II. And the goal of prison camp, if you don't know this, is to break the spirit. The goal of prison camp is to humiliate the human being. And so he says when the British soldiers were first there, they turned to God, but in anger. They said to God, why God? Why, God, why did you let me get caught? Why don't you deliver us? But he said over time, the prayer changed from why, God, to how, God. How, God, should we act? How, God, should we treat one another? How, God, should I operate in this place? It was Christmas Day 1944, and they did not know it was their last Christmas in prison. But at this point, their bodies were frail, their bodies were weak, some to the point of death. And all of a sudden, they were given, on that Christmas day, no work to do. They were like, wow. On top of that, they were given extra food. And Ernest Gordon wrote these words. Sometime that day, that Christmas day, a soldier began to sing a Christmas carol, and then another, and then another. And it wasn't planned, it wasn't organized, it just happened. And all, at least those who were strong enough to get out of bed, they all got up and came out to the camp and they formed this big circle, he said, and spent the day singing Christmas songs. Ernest Gordon, who went on to be a chaplain of Yale University and has been in many, many Christian services, worship services in his lifetime, he wrote these words. It was the most spiritual moment of my life. And here's his exact words. He said, that day we were touched by God. You know why? Because they remembered their song. They remembered their song. They found their music. It really does matter what music you listen to. And so just in a couple weeks, we're going to take down the Christmas tree. We're going to put everything up in the attic. And my question to you is, what are we going to do with our music? Are we going to allow our music to stay in our hearts? And the answer to that is we will, only if we keep Jesus there. So I want you to pray right now. Will you bow your head with me? Just pray with me. I want to teach you a quick, simple prayer, a prayer that we ought to pray this Christmas. Will you repeat after me these words? Dear God, help me again to hear your song. Say it with me again. Dear God, help me again to hear your song. Father, many of us are so wrapped into the song of death in this world, of pointlessness. Lord, a song that's so filled with guilt and shame. And so, God, may we tune into your song this Christmas, a song of hope, a song of forgiveness and grace and mercy and compassion, a song of truth, and the song, the only song of true love. Lord, may we leave once again the song of darkness and step into the songs of light. And so, Father, we pray, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We pray that to be a reality for us this Christmas. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus, and the whole church said, amen. Will you stand with me right now? We got one more song we're going to sing, and I want to read to you the lyrics of the song. The song is called Jesus Emmanuel, God with Us. And I love the lines of the song. I'm going to read it to you right now. Go tell it on a mountain. The one that we've been waiting for, the King of our salvation, born on this day, our Savior, Christ the Lord. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that we can be forgiven. The weight of all our sin, he came to bear. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, King Jesus, the Savior of the world, is born. Can we give Jesus Christ praise right now? Can we give him glory? Can we give him our worship? And so right now, our crosses are open on your far left and your far right. Today may be the day that you give your life to Jesus Christ and you join a new song. Maybe today you need prayer about what's going on in your life, or you need prayer for somebody else. Head the cross right now as we worship Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Please come.